Hello, my name is Bill Cummings, and you're listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is In The TV recommend show.
Hello, and welcome to the 8th episode of Show Me Magic, a new music podcast from godisinthetvzine.co.uk. My name is Bill Cummings. I'm here with Jim Orton.
Hello.
And our special guest this week, Katie Malko. How are you doing, Katie?
I'm all right, thank you very much.
How's lockdown treating you?
Poorly.
Yeah.
No, fine. I think at first I was sort of waiting for an end to be in sight, and now I know there probably isn't one. I'm bummed out. But other than that, I mean, just trying to take each day as it comes, I suppose.
You've got a new album, haven't you, coming out in the middle of all this as well? Failures on the 5th of June?
Yeah, exactly, which couldn't be a better title for them. The year I'm releasing it. Yeah, that's coming on the 5th of June. I realise it's only 4 weeks away earlier today.
Yeah.
Insane. It seems like I've just been waiting to release it for a really long time, and now it's actually nearly here. I'm freaking out.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you've released quite a few singles and EPs, haven't you, down the years? And this is your first album, and it's like a long time coming, really, I guess, for you.
Yeah, I mean, it just took me a long time to pull it together in terms of, I kind of stopped doing anything for a couple of years, and I wasn't sure if I would actually come back and do anything else. And then, I'd had the whole thing written and decided I would do it. And then put the gears in motion. And then these things always just take the gears in motion, the wheels in motion. And then it was takes a lot longer than you think it's going to, and then by the time it actually gets to getting into campaign for it, you're like a couple of years away from it actually having been finished. So like the last day in the studio was like a couple of years before, you know. But yeah, it's just taken me a long time, but I'm glad that I finally got around to it.
Yeah, what I've heard half the album, and it's really good.
Thank you so much.
And just sort of like different textures and stuff like that. Something like Animal, and then something like as gentle as Brooklyn and melting as Brooklyn. It's just like, great stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm looking forward to listening to that. Sorry, you weren't tempted to push it back or anything then after with the lockdown and everything?
Well, we had released Creatures at the end of last year without announcing the album. Mm. And then we were on the brink of announcing the album and releasing Animal, and we considered it, and we were like, are we stupid? But at this point, I just felt like we'd already left it, pushed back so many times for various really boring reasons that it just felt kind of futile to just keep doing that.
Yeah,
like we would just be like, when's the end point, you know?
Exactly. Like,
how am I going to be 100 years old by the time we come?
we're definitely in favour of it, of them just coming out now rather than keep pushing it back.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, I didn't really want to, like, I don't want to be in lockdown and have nothing new to listen to as a consumer, like, as someone who loves music.
Exactly.
I'm bummed out that people weren't releasing their records. So I just thought of it like that, and I was like, well, you know, fair enough, like tour is going to be pushed back and that might keep happening, but people want to hear new music still. Like, that doesn't stop just because of this. And then Laura Marling dropped her album, and I was so pleased she did.
Yeah.
So I just thought,
it's an amazing album as well. So.
It's lovely.
You reviewed that one, didn't you, Jim?
I did.
What did you give it?
I think I gave it a 9, didn't I? I've been a big fan for about a decade now, so...
There's a tune on that album that an affair or the end of the affair.
Yes, end of the affair. Yeah,
the guitar on that's amazing.
Mm, yeah, I love that one. Fortune as well, and Blow by Blow as well is amazing.
Yeah, I just love her voice. I mean, I'm not even like a super fan or anything. I just think that this is a really nice album that she's put in.
What's appealed to me the most is it's really calming as well, especially at the moment when it's done. So you can be quite anxious about the situation and being at home all the time. Sort of certainly helps.
Definitely. That's exactly what I thought as well. I was like on a very, very long walk and saw she'd released it and just, oh, I'll give that a listen. It was exactly what I needed.
That's a good thing about an album as well, isn't it? I've got a mate who's like started running to albums and stuff like that, which is quite interesting, you know. It's like quite a good period of time to do a run to, isn't it?
Like running to the length of the album.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd get your run onto that one though.
Not really, no.
You had an EP, didn't you? It was quite a few years ago now on Alcopop Records, Tear and Ventricles.
Yeah, that's right.
That was much, I don't know if I remember it being much more like stripped back than the stuff. Was some of the stuff on the album?
Yeah, it was just piano and we just recorded it live. And it was completely different. Different to what I'd even done up to that point. I'd just been sort of, I guess, doing some more like acoustic-y kind of things. And then wanted to switch it up and try writing on a different instrument for once and see. And actually, I really felt like it sounds quite wanky, but it kind of like revealed a side of my songwriting that I kind of knew was more me.
Yeah,
I hadn't really found it yet, if that made sense. And then doing it on the piano then made it so much easier to kind of find that those sort of shapes and stuff like on the guitar. And I feel like it was actually really significant in that way, even though I don't really write most things on piano generally, and there's only a couple. There's one song that I wrote on piano or two on the album, but then I've transferred them to guitar and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They kind of work that way. It was all sort of like just stripping it down and starting again.
Yeah.
I guess kind of informed what I've done now to a point. Yeah.
And I suppose you were hoping to do a tour and everything. That'll all have to be pushed back, will it, I assume?
Yeah, we were supposed to be touring in September and we pushed it to November. And now we're looking at March.
God, yeah. It's not looking good for gigs this year, is it, really?
No, I don't think it's going to happen this year.
All right.
It is.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, anyway. It's really
Thank
great to have you on.
Me. No oh, problem. Really- please you wanted to thank you
we're going to crack on now with the new music. We're going to go for your selection first, Katie.
Okay, so the first one I chose was Squirrel Flower. She released an album, when did she release it? A couple months ago. I've just been on repeat. I think she's amazing. And I saw her a year ago support Adrian Lenker from Big Thief at Union Chapel, and I had no idea who she was then, but like I was just like so many points, like her voice was soaring, you know, and like I could remember so many parts of those melodies. Like later on, I was singing them on the train home to myself, and I just thought she was amazing. So she had like an EP out then, and then she got into this album campaign. I was really pleased that she had something new come in, and it did not disappoint. And I really liked this tune that was on it.
Take it.
Okay, that was Red Shoulder from Squirrel Flower from her recent album. Yeah, I really love that. And her voice is, like you said, it's exceptional, isn't it, really? I mean, she talks about it being a song about destabilization and dissociation. Mm. But there's a kind of pregnant emotion in her voice and sort of swells and sways on fuzz guitars and a sort of, I love the way it sort of swells up and back down again. It's really, beautiful track. Put it in our tracks of the week.
Wicked. Yeah. She's just got like amazing like hold on her own talent, like vocally. Like she knows exactly how to work her voice, and that's quite rare, I think. Like it's quite a hard thing to do.
Mm. What did you think, Jim?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. I was going to ask, does she play all the guitar parts on it as well? Obviously, is that with a band or anything? Because so the guitar was really interesting, and it's almost like almost like a chaotic sound. It was almost like a bit destabilized, but it felt like it was sort of rooted, especially the guitar sound. It was quite a fuzzy, grungy, almost like a Soundgarden. But then obviously her vocals were just completely different and almost like this ethereal sound.
Yeah, I think she does. I mean, when I've seen her live, she's playing.
Playing the whole thing. That's really impressive, yeah. I really enjoyed that. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the album is out on Full Time Hobby, isn't it, in this country?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
It's called I Was Born Swimming. So you really recommend it then, Katie?
Yeah, it's definitely in my top 10 this year already.
It's a cool name as well, Squirrel Flower. We usually give out marks out of 10, so... I'll kick off with an 8 for that one. What say you, Katie?
I'm giving it a 10.
Wow.
Bosh.
Straight in there.
Jim?
I'll go with my 7.5, my usual. My trademark. Of,
7.5.
Enjoy it.
He loves the 7.5.
It's like the diplomatic score. No, it's not the diplomatic score. That makes it sound like I didn't enjoy it, but... It's better than a 7, but not quite an 8 for me, so I sit on the fence. I have splinters.
I'm going to choose a track now, my first track of the podcast. Cool. Now, this is a new track. It's just, I think it's even dropping this week. It's so new. Mm. It's from a band called Lazy Day, and this is All The Time.
You keep on calling. Talk to you. I never.
Okay, yeah, I really love that. And the riff at the beginning is like more than a feeling. Then it goes something else. I love her voice. She's called Tilly Scatterbury, and they're from London.
Wow,
and
that is a name.
Kind of reminds me of Chrissy Hynde or like PJ Harvey. There's kind of like a vulnerability, but also a power in it. But yeah, I love the vocals that sort of scythe through those really good guitars. And there's a kind of dreamy bit as well, a surprisingly dreamy bit in the middle as well, I quite like. What did you think, Jim? I'll start with you.
I had PJ Harvey down. Yeah, I didn't think of Chrissy Hynde, but yeah, the PJ Harvey, that kind of quite, like I said, it's quite cutting. It's like a scythe through in the music, sort of very sort of punchy vocals. I really love the bass on this as well. The bass is really cool. Probably the bit that I like the most about it, actually. I don't know. It's one of those songs that I've listened to several times, and it's didn't like it, but it's one of those songs I've sort of thinking, I can't remember how that went. So I'm sort of familiarising myself with it again. But no, I am. No, I do like it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they've released a couple of EPs and sort of mini albums and stuff for the last couple of years. What did you think, Katie?
I loved it. What they did remind me of something, and I really couldn't put my finger on what it was, and in a good way. Like it was just... I guess it was a bit like that band Fourth Wanderers, but I always feel bad comparing stuff because I feel like bands and artists are like, no.
It's hard, isn't it? I said this on the podcast last night. Basically, we're not saying that these artists, like, they sound exactly like them and they're pigeonholed into them, but we're just saying it reminds us of bits of it, us of these people.
It might be what their influences were.
Yeah, rather than...
the thing as well, the sort of people they sort of aped, maybe not, but you know, that's their influence.
It's difficult for artists
to it. That was really cool. It had a kind of like are they British?
Yeah
I don't know. Yeah, it was wicked. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, I'll kick that off. I'll give it a 7.5. I mean, I'm tempted by an 8, but I do need more listens to it as well myself. I do really like them though as a band. I've liked other stuff they've done.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a lot very promising. So what do you think, Jim?
Yeah, 7.5 sounds good.
I don't even know what 7.5 is as well, but I'm copying you. Katie?
I'm
going to
give it 8.5.
Cool. I mean, I was tempted by an 8, but
But you started to be stingy.
To give them something to work towards, yeah.
Yeah.
No, they've got a lot of promise. I think they're a good band. It's back to you, Jim, with a band that most people will know that are listening to this podcast.
I know.
Fontaines DC are back.
Yeah, so this is their brand new single. Only just over 12 months since they released their debut, Doggerel. They've announced their second album. And this is the first single and the name of the album, A Hero's Death.
Life ain't always empty. 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 Don't get stuck in the past. Say your favourite things at mass. Tell your mother that you love her. I go out of your way for others. Sit beneath the light that suits you and look forward to a brighter future. Life ain't always empty. 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 Sink as far down as you could be pulled up. Happiness really ain't all about luck. Let your demeanor be your deep down self. And don't sacrifice your life for your health. When you speak, speak sincere. And believe me, friend, everyone will hear. Life ain't always empty. Life ain't always empty.
Life ain't always empty. Life ain't always empty. Life ain't always empty. Life ain't always empty. Bring your own 2 cents, never borrow them from someone else. Buy yourself a flower every hundredth error. Throw your hair down from your lonely terror. And if you find yourself in the family way, give a kid more than what you got in your day. Life ain't always empty. 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 Never let a cop tell you what you got time for. It only goes around, goes around, goes around. Take a family name for your own great sins, 'cause each day is where it all begins. And don't give up too quick. You only get one line, you better make it stick. If you give ourselves to every breath, then we're all in the runner for a hero's death. Life ain't always empty. 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 Life ain't always empty.
Do anything wrong as far as I'm concerned. I was sort of thinking whether or not I was going to choose this, because they're fairly well known. They're sort of the buzz band. They're sort of on everyone's love list at the moment, and their debut Doggerel was number one on albums of the year poll. But I first saw this lot supporting Shame in 2018, and they were great, but they were sort of their first on. I don't think anyone quite got it at the time. And then saw them doing their own gig at the Lexington, and they were amazing when it was their own gig. They sort of had their own crowd. But to say they can't do much wrong with me. This has kind of got these Beach Boys harmonies as well, because apparently it was recorded in LA whilst they were touring. They basically wrote and toured this directly straight from when they finished recording Doggerel. They wrote, and to when they were touring, they recorded it as well. So, and there's the repetition thing. I interviewed Grian last year when they were at South by Southwest, and he was saying they're quite big into their repetition thing, and obviously the constant refrain, life ain't always empty. Go, and sometimes you think, oh, is that going to great? But not really. I love this thing, brilliant.
Did you think, Katie?
Yeah, I really liked it as well. I saw them play, when did I see them play? End of Road in September last year, and really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I guess like, this one's a lot less abrasive they're not really chaotic, but you know what I mean, like it was a bit more clean, I suppose, than their other stuff, and that was a nice thing to sort of hear. But yeah, I just think they've got quite a unique thing going for them. You really notice them.
Yeah, it was a little bit more pared back, wasn't it? The album was recorded live, wasn't it, Jim? Or at least recorded live in the studio, kind of gone.
I don't know much about the new one, to be honest, because I think they sort of did.
No, I mean their debut.
Doggerel, they did all that when recording with Dan Carey. They recorded it live, and then so basically they started it from the beginning. They played and played. If anyone cocked up, they started it again, because he wanted it to have that feel of it being a non-stop thing. And when they played it at that point, it was how that felt at that point, rather than, you know, overdubbing, doing things like in bits and pieces and drums and etc. And I think that sounds amazing. But Dog sounds amazing. But I think it might be a little bit different. It doesn't quite sound the same as that.
No,
I think they wanted it to either.
It sounds a little bit more pared back, and like the rhythm allows him to be more sort of a little bit more in your face with the vocal, I would say. And I got a bit of a defiance from it as well. Okay. Like you were talking about, you know, the darkness and all that. It's sort of like hanging on to things in the darkness, you know? It's almost like an instruction, isn't it, to people?
Yeah, yeah. I was at their Brixton Academy, so their massive gig that they put last year when everything else had sold out. And they played a load of new stuff, and they did play this. And it's kind of live, again, whereas stuff like the singles, the big things like Too Real and Boys in the Better Land, stuff like that, is just very sort of abrasive and heavy and everything like that. The new stuff, especially this, was almost this weird kind of psychedelic undercurrent. It's not really psychedelic, but So it's with the sort of heart, almost like Beach Boys harmony sort of thing.
I was thinking Talking Heads for some reason. I don't know why.
No, I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. And they're more sort of poppy.
Post-punk thing.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it because it sounds like it's going to be really different, but still sound like Fontaine's DC. And they've managed to sort of completely swerve that difficult number two album by just getting straight in and banging it out.
That's what a lot of bands tend to do now, don't they? Put out more stuff now. Keeping the social media and streaming headlights and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Since they released the last one, is
no,
it?
Not at all.
No, it was February last year, the day you came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite prolific, I think.
Mm.
And before that, they had quite a few EPs and singles, didn't they, Jim?
Yeah, well, they did.
Reckless and.
They did Boys in the Bellhand a couple of times because they had the Darkman's version, and then they obviously re recorded it and that came out as a single. So, yeah, they've been had a few things knocking about before they actually managed to record it with who they wanted to record it, I think. But, yeah, it's just like I said, they wrote and recorded almost immediately after Dogle came out and after they'd finished. So, it's been pretty quick. They haven't rested on their laurels and stopped and enjoyed it and toured for a while and they just carried on because I don't think they know anything different.
I picked out a lyric, don't sacrifice your life for your health.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite apt at the moment.
That's a brilliant lyric. Yeah.
Scores. Jim, you kick off your track.
8.5.
Katie, what are you saying?
I'll go 8.
Cool.
I think I need more listens to it. I do like it, but I feel like I need more listens to it. 7.5. I'm doing the old gym score there, just 7.5. I'm being a bit...
Rubbing off.
Being a bit cautious today. Anyway, we'll see if I carry on with that in that vein. You have to listen to the rest of the podcast to find out. Okay, Katie, back to you. You're one of your choices, I believe.
Yeah. So the singer of this band, I know him a little because he used to do a solo thing and I was a really big fan of it. It wasn't a big thing, but he's just an amazing songwriter. Yeah, he's been in a bunch of different bands, various types of bands as well. And he's honestly like a bit of a genius. And this is his new project, which it's just getting off the ground. Like, I know that he's got an album coming at some, that we'll say it's a whole band. They've got an album coming at some point. But I've already heard it and it's fucking phenomenal. Sorry. They've only released 2 singles and they're already like getting so much pickup and done. I think they're doing like a Mark Riley session and stuff like that. They're just getting the attention it deserves already. Yeah. And I just think it's unique and it's cool. I really like it.
Are you the minimum?
So that's Laundromat and Slow Clap. Yeah, I really love that as well. That's sort of a really lo-fi, kind of minimal, throwing around comparisons again. But I picked up a bit of Eels in the vocals, which I quite liked.
Yeah, I would agree with that, to be honest.
Yeah, interesting.
I think he's got one of the coolest voices I've ever heard.
What did you think, Jim?
I was going to say, I did wonder if he was American.
That's why I asked you.
That US alt rock sort of thing. And I genuinely thought it sounded but more like earlier Car Seat Headrest. He had that kind of Will Toledo sort of sound. I know you don't have the new stuff, Bill, but the earlier stuff is in our area.
Yeah, to be fair, I heard a Car Seat Headrest track on their Six Music the other day, and I actually quite liked it. I thought it was back, so I'm going to have to row back on my Car Seat Headrest criticism now. But it was just that one song, you know, I didn't like.
There was a guy I reviewed a few years ago called Tim Presley, did Tim Presley's White Fence. Oh. And I thought they had that kind of lo-fi feel to it, sort of a bit similar to that, but for fans, or as it were. But yeah, no, I did like that. It's really good. Sort of Laundromat makes me automatically think of New York as well, though. I don't really know why. But
It's an American word, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What does slow clap refer to as well?
Do you know what? I wish I knew.
Nothing to do with clapping for the NHS or anything.
A slow clap tends to mean, you know, it's like a derogatory thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry. Slow clapping for Boris.
Yeah, exactly. Clap for Boris.
Slowly, very slowly and sarcastically. okay, that was Laundromat and Slow Clap. I really enjoyed that, actually, and I'm going to break up my 7.5 standards and go to an 8 for that one.
Yeah.
What are you giving it, Katie, your track?
10.
Well, you know, if you like it, so it's like, you know,
I really like it. Yeah. 10 is my answer,
Jim.
I'll be positive. I'm gonna go with 8. It's good stuff.
Very good.
So it was back to me again.
Back to you,
Sybil Attar, and this is a new track, Hurt Me.
Struggling to find reason. mots empêchés de sortir qui me craquent dedans pendant que les années passent en silence. Mais cette fois, j'ai fait un choix et je ne serai plus forcée d'écouter ta voix. Je n'ai plus besoin de toi, plus besoin de toi.
Yeah, Sybil Attar, she had a track I liked a couple of years ago from an EP called Pamela's Hand. And I really like this one. It's I love the rolling drums and the strings and the vocals that kind of like oscillate between French pop and Scandi pop. I haven't got a clue what it's about. I think she's an interesting artist. It comes out on Punk Slime Recordings. It's PNKSLM Recordings, so that's the thing.
Oh, okay.
Based right, in Stockholm, yeah. Sweden. They put out a lot of cool stuff, actually.
Yeah.
Including Chemtrails that we had last time.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did you think, Katie? It's a bit of an unusual one.
Yeah. I couldn't put my finger on. I felt like I'd heard this band before. Like it was like something from the 90s that I'd heard before. I thought it was really, really cool. But I couldn't put my finger on it. It's all Massive Attacky, maybe, but not.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe sort of like a trip hop kind of
Björk. Yeah, Björk maybe with the
Björk.
Yeah, I did think of Björk actually. Yeah, maybe when she did that stuff with David Arnold with the strings and Play Dead and all that.
That's a good point with the string though, because I really like the strings in it. It's really interesting, kind of. Yeah. You weren't expecting it, and it was almost incongruous, but it was, but actually really worked. I thought it was really good, but really, yeah, very interesting.
Interesting, yeah. It's very emotional, isn't it, I think?
Her voice is so cool, I thought.
Yeah. She's got an album coming out in the fall, so or autumn, as we call it in this country. So that was Sybil Attar and Hurt Me. I'm going to give that an 8 as well.
I'll give it an 8.
Ah, cool. What say you, Jim? he's gonna cut me off at the knees, I'm sure of it.
I'm going to give it... And I
He doesn't usually like my like weirdo pop stuff, so. So what's your next pick, Jim?
So my last new track of the week is it's Angie McMahon, and it's a collaboration she's done with Lee Fallback, who's a Canadian singer-songwriter. Angie McMahon is an Australian singer-songwriter. She's from Melbourne. And this is called If You Call.
Thank you. I've been a little darker than I've been wanting you to see, though you've been coming round needing to be looked after. Something that I've learned as we've been watching people leaving. Oh, the loving that we've earned is gonna keep us breathing.
That was Angie McMahon with Lee Fallback, If You Call. That song originally was on her debut album, which came out last year, called Salt. Oh. But she's reimagined a load of them, and she's called this. It's on, oh, not all of it. Some of them are on an EP called Piano Salt. So it's all just piano based. So that one, and that one's with Lee Fallback, and I really love the harmonies, the dual harmonies on there. I saw her play with Julia Jacklin last year in Kentish Town Forum.
So did I. I was there.
Did you? You were there. She was really good.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, and she came on, didn't she, and did Avril Lavigne with her.
Yeah, that was wicked.
That's very funny. They didn't think it went down that well, but it's really. But yes, I thought she's got quite an interesting voice, and that was really nice with Leaf. Really nice. It's kind of being really paired back in piano bass. It was almost I had it. Yeah. But it was almost like there was sort of a rolling feel to it. That it was almost like a midnight walk, or hour sort of thing. It was quite sort of witching hour kind of thing. But with the organ and everything, it was really sort of very calming again, and just something a bit more interesting as well.
What do you think, Katie? Obviously, you're a fan. If you've seen her,
well, I went to see Julia Jacklin, and
she was supported.
Yeah, I hadn't heard her, and I just thought she had an incredible voice, and I thought she was brilliant. And then I delved in a little bit after the show, and I heard her ABBA cover she did for Triple J, which was No Me, No You, and I put it straight in a playlist because it's phenomenal.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
I don't like that song, but like she really made me like that song. I thought this tune, I hadn't really listened much to the album or anything, so I'm interested that this was already a tune.
Yeah, she described it as being one of the songs, she literally, it's the end of the last song on the album, on her debut song. And she wasn't even going to put it on there, apparently. She said that she felt it was really cheesy. But when she played it in the studio for her band, they thought, this is brilliant. But and
I
now
didn't find it cheesy at all.
No, not at all. No, I didn't. She just didn't. She thought it was a bit too, sort of the lyrics were a bit obvious and a bit sort of lovey-dovey, which I don't think she wanted to be. But I know, I thought it was great. I really liked it.
I enjoyed it as well, and I thought it was quite like sparse and haunting. It was given a sense of like space and vastness, I felt like. As you said, Jim, kind of a nighttime reflective quality. Like exactly. I can imagine sort of like, you know, strolling through the desert or something, or the dusk. And, you know, if you talk about Australia, you know, that's kind of what I'm envisaging with this one. I quite enjoyed it. The only thing I would say is I did find it a little bit long, but I do like the harmonies that come in halfway through.
Yeah.
But it's so sparse that that length, maybe I kind of lost a bit of interest halfway through.
It's still a good song.
Mm. And what does he add to it? Is he like a songwriter or a musician as well?
Yeah, he's a Canadian singer-songwriter. I don't know a huge amount about him, but and I sort of just trying to look for sort of information about
him. I thought he was Scandinavian with a name like that.
Well, I know. Yeah, I did as well. But he's, I don't know a huge amount about him, but I think he's got quite a nice, quite a deep and calming voice that goes with him. And he did complement it really well. So I was going to look up, see what else he'd done. I assume there must be albums and EPs about for him. But
what are you giving that, Jim, out of 10?
That's an 8 for me.
Katie?
I'm going to give it a 9.
Wow. I go in 7 for the reasons I mentioned. It's still a good song, though, I do think. Okay, to the cult classics then. I'm going to kick off first with, this is Frightened Rabbit. And this is Modern Leper.
A cripple walks amongst you all, you tired human beings. He's got all the things a cripple has not, two working arms and legs. And vital parts fall from his system and dissolve in Scottish rain. Vitally, he doesn't miss him, he's too fucked up to care. Was I you? Yeah, cut my fruit despite my legs. Is that you?
I've always loved that song, and it was the one that stood out to me when I first heard it from their album 2008, Midnight Organ Fight. Of course, the sad passing of Scott Hutchinson, the lead singer of Frightened Rabbit, was marked last week, I believe, and there was a Tim's listening party on Twitter for this album as well. In fact, I don't think they tweeted much as a mark of respect.
No, they said, so that's quite good. They were just going to take questions, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got a charity now, haven't they, called Tiny Changes, which, yeah, we definitely support and we're going to put underneath this podcast. I mean, I've got quite a personal connection to Frightened Rabbit because I put them on in 2008 in Cardiff. Probably one of the like biggest name bands I ever put on and probably ever will put on because I packed in promoted in 2014. So at the time, they weren't much of a big band, really. They all stayed at in my mum's front room, which is kind of funny sight to see, like five burly Scottish blokes like staying in my mum's front room. So, they played a great gig in Cardiff. It was packed out, and it was around the time of that album. I just love that song. It's sort of like hits you in the solar plexus, doesn't it? It doesn't let up, really. And it's quite like brutally, and that's something about that album, the brutal imagery.
Yeah,
but it's kind of on that balance between beauty and brutality and introspection and, you know, incredible, really. It's an incredible album.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
What do you think, Jim?
I love that song. It's easily my favourite Frightened Rabbit song, which isn't to say the rest aren't any good, but I think it's amazing. And it's really emotive. It's like it makes you sort of choke up listening to that now you know he's not here anymore. So it's just really quite emotional now, really, listening to that. It's hard not to get a bit of a lump in your throat listening to it. And it's a brilliant, brilliant song, and not much more you can say about it, really.
No. What do you think, Katie, of that one?
I'm a massive, massive Frightened Rabbit fan.
Yeah.
And have been since that album came out.
Yeah.
I love every song on that album.
Yeah, it was hard for me to choose which one, to be honest, because... Yeah. I love Poke. I love Backwards Walk.
Yeah.
Floating in the Fourth, even.
My favourite was always Floating in the Fourth.
That's just so powerful now, though, isn't it?
I just can't.
It's too much.
Listen to it without crying. But I'm actually from Fife. I was born there. My family live in Edinburgh. Like, half of them live in Edinburgh, half of them live in Fife.
Yeah.
Over that bridge all the time. And. When we used to go up, I mean, still now, when we go up, we go over that bridge to see family and stuff. And it just, like, has such a poignancy now to me. Like, just that song anyway, like...
Yeah. It's a funny song because, you know, if you, like, just took it on its face value, you'd think, oh, it's quite, like, you know, a negative song. But actually, it's about living, isn't it? It's about not.
It's just so sad that that's not the end of the story, I suppose.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I just think he's one of the best songwriters that's ever lived.
He is.
Honest with you.
I do wonder in like years to come whether he will be rediscovered, you know, because they were always a band who were like actually bigger in America than they were here, weirdly. I mean, I know they got to a relatively big size, but they were never as big as I thought they were ever going to be, you know.
I think that's their influence. They're definitely like the music that those guys are into is America, same as me, really. Like,
yeah.
A lot of American stuff, so maybe that's why. I mean, like, we were promised Jetpacks. They have a similar thing where they're America.
Yeah. Twilight Sad. There's quite a rich seam of music up in Edinburgh, Scotland, Glasgow kind of region, you know.
Yeah.
Especially around then as well, I think.
It's just a pretty album. It's probably my top 10
albums. It is.
Five albums. Actually.
And you know what? At the time, I mean, I really liked it at the time and I really loved this song at the time, but... I don't think I actually realised how great this record is because every song is strong on it and every song has a kind of the brutality of the lyrics is just like, and there's like dark humour and stuff like that in it that you don't get when you first listen to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That kind of reveals itself the more you listen to it and it's very moving now, obviously, as well.
Yeah, all the stuff about like one night stands and things like that.
Like,
when I first heard it, I was like, wow, like, this is like very vivid. But now I'm older, like, I really appreciate that he was so vivid about that stuff. I mean, I was really young when it came out, but loved it. But now it's like, it just, you know exactly what he's describing.
Yeah.
I think It's what we were saying about things being relatable when they're honest.
Yeah.
Like, he gets it. He got it completely right.
Well, this is what I get from it anyway. You might get something, you guys might get something different, but I just get that feeling of, you know, you feel like, just like a nothing, you know, walking around like just like a nothing, and that's how you feel, you know, and it kind of taps into that. But it's also got that restlessness with the kind of rhythm to it.
Yeah.
And live, it was, well, just fucking incredible, to be honest. And
oh, yeah.
They're a kick-ass band as well.
It's very, it's a quite a rousing chorus as well, though. Quite emotive. That's the thing. I saw them at Victorious Festival, and it must be 2017, because it was the year before. And I heard, I didn't catch the beginning, but I caught the end, and they played this last. And I thought, that's amazing. And I don't know, for some reason, I found it hard to find it. And then I listened to things like Pacing of a Panic Attack and things like that, which was a bit starker. And
the album after this is good as well, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah.
Pedestrian.
Things like Woodpile and...
Woodpile is such a good song.
Such a good song, yeah. It's good.
I listen to it all the time. In fact, Flying Rabbit are like every year when you get that Spotify Wrapped thing, they're always still the number one every year.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Yeah. Have I honestly not moved on?
Have you listened to anything else? Yeah.
Yeah.
There is something about the Scottish sensibility of like writing as well, where they've got that bittersweet kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like they can like, I mean, I know this is like generalization, but a lot of the like the Scottish artists, they can really like tap into that melancholia, but it's also that kind of like defiance as well.
Yeah. And honestly, I think what you're saying, that is what appeals to me so much, because my whole family is Scottish. Like, there's not an English person in my family. We're the first ones, me and my brother and sister, to like have accent, just because we moved down here when we were quite young. But it kind of, there's stuff that, there's little moments in it that really just feels like home, home, like a hominess, and a weird sort of, I can't explain, but just little colloquialisms and stuff that remind me of family and that feels
I totally get that. I get that with certain bands about Wales, you know, so I totally get
it.
Yeah, definitely.
It makes you feel kind of homey.
Yeah. It like taps into feelings you've got about where you're from and stuff. Yeah,
totally. And there's like a definite Celtic thing
definitely
some of the melodies, and I'd say that about all of the bands we mentioned a minute ago. Like, it's weird how they can be of a different sort of genre almost, but still kind of have that uniting factor of being Scottish. That
I always liked Arab Strap as well, who's even more, he's even darker. Old Aidan Moffat, you know.
Yeah, and RM.
Very dark, very dark. Yeah. All right, cool. I'm going to give that 9. What are you giving that, Jim?
At least a 9.
Yeah.
9.
Okay. What are you saying, Katie?
I'm going to give it 10.
I knew you were going to say that.
Fair enough. I was tempted. I was tempted, I admit.
I think you should give it 10.
All right. I'm going to give that a 10. I'm changing my mind. Katie's convinced me. Katie's convinced me.
Oh, okay. I'll give that a 10.
Yeah. Go on, man. Let's all go 10.
Still cheating, though.
I told him he picked Andrew WK a few weeks ago, and I said he was cheating. So anyway, he gave it a 10. So there you go.
I always deserved a 10.
Yeah. Moving on to you, Jim. Now it's back to the 90s, I believe.
Back to the 90s. So yeah, a band.
Your favorite decade.
My favorite decade. Yeah, I want to go back. This is. Well, I'll just introduce it and we'll talk about it afterwards. This is Space Hog and Mungo City.
As
City yet? Space Hog Mungo City, probably better known for In the Meantime, which was on, I think, was it a BT advert or a BT Cellnet advert or something like that, back sort of the last 20 years ago or something like that, when they were first bringing up mobiles and things. But they're not one of those bands that really sort of I sort of talked about anymore. They were sort of around the Britpop era, really, because when their debut Resident Alien came out, it was 96, I think it was. And then this was off their second album, the Chinese album, which was 98. So it is slap bang, but it's never one that's really mentioned. And even something like In the Meantime isn't sort of thought of one of those Britpop bangers. I don't know why they stuck out. It maybe because even though the Langdon brothers are from Leeds, they formed the band in New York City. And even one of them would end up being married to Liv Tyler. And so I think maybe they avoided it by not really fitting into the Britishness, even though they were from Leeds. But I just think this second album is actually, I think I probably prefer this album to the first one. And this is just a really fun song. And I think they need something else to go alongside In the Meantime, which, again, is brilliant as well, in my opinion. But this is just fun and silly. And they are quite silly, but with also being really good at writing a good pop song.
Do you know what it reminded me of? We were also a 90s band, Denim, like glam rock. Quirky glam rock thing from the 90s.
Yeah.
What do you think, Katie?
Yeah, it was like, I thought it was like an 80s thing when I heard it. I was like, oh, what year is this? It was, this guess it's quite sort of psyche, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like it's probably outside of what I would normally choose to listen to, but it was definitely enjoyable. I definitely thought it was catchy and quite cool. Yeah,
it's quite a silly sort of almost. They do all these little weird in jokes and things like that. I mean, this has got a song called "Almond Kisses," which is, I think it was co-written, but it's definitely got Michael Stipe on it as well. So they were sort of still and that's there's sort of a melancholic side to them as well. I think it's almost like they put this mask of being kind of, it's almost cartoonish mask with some songs as well. But it's just a really fun album. There's just some really good pop songs, really good sort of glammy rock songs, and just fun indie songs as well. So Resident Alien's kind of one that anyone who talks about the mentions because of the single In the Meantime was on an advert. Sort of a Babylon Zoo moment. But I really enjoy this, and but as it being a single, I thought I'd sort of use that one. What do we give that?
You could start. It's your track.
It's an 8.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to give it a 7 because I don't know what to make of it almost. I almost need to like listen to more of them, do you know what I mean, to get more of a sense of them.
I will go for a 7.5.
Really? You caught the bug.
Okay. So the last classic to round off the podcast is from you, Katie.
Yeah, it's not actually it's classic. It's,
or it's, underrated track. We'll call it an underrated track.
Okay, cool. I went for something that I just felt was I guess underrated, but at the same time, like this artist is someone who kind of just releases stuff under the radar. Like he doesn't really do campaigns and stuff. He just sort of he just drops his tunes and they do what they do. And if you come across him, you're wowed by him. Or everyone I know that's ever heard him has been. He hasn't really played a game at all. The game of music at all. He's just an artist in its truest form. You know, he's just releasing music as he wants when he writes it.
On Bandcamp or how's he?
Yeah, and he just sticks it out, and that's it. And it's a shame because he's so good.
Yeah,
I just think he's amazing talent. He's from the same town that I grew up in, so I've seen him play a lot, and he's just always been amazing. And I know that he does a lot. He's got a lot of fingers in musical pies in terms of being he's a guitarist. He plays in a lot of different things and things. and he produces and stuff as well, and this is just his own output really, and I just think it's sublime.
And it's Joel Harry's Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
and just dust ourselves down.
I really enjoyed that as well. I put down wonderful finger picking on the arpeggios. Beautiful.
That's exactly what I've written down, yeah.
And, muted and affecting sort of lilting vocal.
Yeah.
Kind of, I got like, initially I got like the obvious sort of like comparisons, like John Martin or somebody like that.
And yeah, I also got
Bon Iver later on as well. But
he's got a really weird, unique voice as well. Like,
yeah.
He's got a very high voice, but there's something so fragile in it. And it's really, it just gets in the feels, like.
Yeah,
it's quite almost like a falsetto, isn't it? Yeah. I got sort of very sort of the way he did his, I said, Bill, the arpeggio guitar is quite Nick Drake-like as well.
Yeah, yeah.
We had him on the previous pod. And yeah, it's sort of quite haunting like that as well. I almost felt like there was some kind of underlying serious melancholy going on with him as well. But whilst there was probably a bit more beautiful than devastating. But, you know, no, I really like that. I'll have to check him out. It's really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. Has he got an album on the horizon, or is it just he literally just drops out these singles?
He just drops them out. Like, he just released something the other day out of nowhere. And yeah, he just doesn't do the thing that the rest of us do. He just drops it. And it's like, yeah, he puts me out on March 31st.
Oh,
you haven't seen me in a while, which was an EP. He just puts out these EPs and they're all just absolutely beautiful. And I almost wish he would just get someone to
do it.
It's too good to waste it. But
yeah, we were talking about that last time, weren't we, Jim? And with Nick Drake, it's like sometimes like people just, it's like all about luck sometimes, isn't it? Or who you get to champion you or who you get, you know, in your corner, like, you know.
Well, maybe also when we were discussing Eves as well, because he's sort of no longer about for whatever reason. But like I said, it's sometimes people just decide they don't want to carry on, or they only want to do it on their own terms rather than just sort of squeezing out an album just because they feel like it.
Like, because not every musician wants to be like a marketer as well, do they? Or a manager.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's a full-time job doing it all yourself.
Yeah.
It takes up all your time. And someone like Joel, I think, you know, he's got so many musical projects on the go, and this is just one of them. It's just so much better than so many other people's full-time musical projects.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be giving that one. What are you saying, Jim?
8.5.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to say 8 as well, because I thought it was really intriguing. And I like the way his voice sort of went up an octave or two near the end.
Mm.
Like to hear more, definitely.
I'll be checking that out. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What are you saying, Katie?
I'm going to give it a 10.
Well, no, fair enough. You chose it, so it's like, you know.
I love it so much. I think it's so deserving of attention.
On any other pod, you probably have won the classic, but...
Sorry, I'm too enthusiastic.
Oh, that's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. That's what it's about, really.
Yeah, definitely. It's bringing on your passions, you know. It's like, exactly. It's cool with the guests as well, because like they bring different, you know, artists and different tastes and stuff. So it's like, it gives it a different feel each time we do it, which is cool.
Exactly.
So cheers for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. It's
no
great.
No problem. You had recently a single, didn't you? Is it Brooklyn?
Yeah, I did a couple of weeks ago.
And the video for that's quite interesting as well, I thought.
Oh, yeah, that was a bit of a happy accident because I wanted to do a video, and then obviously we went into lockdown. And I had some ideas for a video and we were thinking of shooting it. And then I was doing, like, getting rid of photos off my phone and putting them in iCloud. And then I found all this footage that I took when I was in New York, like on the trip that I'm thinking about. And I was like, some of this is really nice. Like, this really, like, is bringing back a lot of memories of what I've even written about in this tune. And, like, it was just a massively happy accident. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I'll just put something together with this. So had loads of it and, like, put it all together and had some stuff from me and the girl the song's about, like, us having FaceTimed and just stupid stuff, like,
cool
about our friendship and things that felt poignant in the song. And so managed to put all that together and I was really pleased with it, even though it's quite a simple idea, but, like, it's exactly what it really represents, the tune, for me. So I was quite pleased.
That's quite good, because you might have had to have gone down the Phoebe Bridges route when she did Kyoto, or doing a green screen and just having you flying over Brooklyn Bridge or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then I saw that Hayley Williams did just some dancing in her living room for her new video.
Yes, yeah.
People are kind of getting creative, aren't they? But
yeah,
I was quite happy that I had some stuff already. Yeah.
All right. So people could check that out. Where would people go if they want to buy your new album, your forthcoming album?
If you're in the UK, then go to my Bandcamp, because I'm doing pre-orders there. But if you're in the US, then that's where my label is. So they have their store, 6131 Records.
Yeah, definitely support Katie, because she's got a great album coming out. And thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Yeah, you brought some really interesting artists as well, cool artists. We'll definitely be checking out afterwards. Yeah. What I was going to end with this week was a charity single I've been involved with by the Indoor Mortal Orchestra. It's basically a charity single that was put together in 24 hours for Mark Watson's Watsonathon, which is like a 24-hour comedy marathon he does online, and where he asks people to do crazy tasks. And one of the crazy tasks was to source and record a cover of Bugsy Malone's You Give a Little Love in 24 hours and release it. Bit of a mad task. They kind of pulled it off. I think they produced it in 24 hours and now it's coming out on Olive Grove Records. It features the likes of Miles Jupp, the comedian, and Kevin Eldon, and Douglas Stewart from BMX Bandits, and Simon Love from The Loves. So we're going to play out this week with the Indoor Mortal Orchestra, and this is You Give a Little Love. It's for three charities that are going to help people who are going through at the moment, like UK Hospice and Next Up, which is like a comedian's charity as well.
Thanks for listening to the 8th episode of Show Me Magic. My name is Bill Cummings. I've been with Jim Orton.
Bye.
And Katie Malko.
All right, bye. Thank you for having me.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye. You've been listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is In The TV recommend show. Check out more on godisinthetvzine.co.uk or on our Twitter page, God Is In The TV. We're also on Facebook.
Got Us in the TVZ with a dot. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, ta-da.